Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Game Changer Lacrosse Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Evoli. The Game Changer Lacrosse Podcast is about talking to people who have dedicated their life to the game of lacrosse and learning about who they are, how they got to where they are today, and what they do to improve themselves and their teams. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GC Sports, and if you're a coach or a parent, check out Game Changer Team Manager in the App Store. You can ditch the emails and spreadsheets. The free Game Changer Team Manager app streamlines communication, scheduling, and live scoring into one easy-to-use app. Game Changer Team Manager is 100% free for your entire team. Learn more at gc.com/teammanager or search for Game Changer Team Manager in the App Store. Today on the show, we have Matt Abbott. Matt's a graduate of Syracuse University, where he was a two-time All-American, third team as a junior, and first team as a senior. His senior year as team co-captain, Syracuse won the 2008 National Championship that year. Matt was also a Twarton Trophy finalist. He was a member of Team USA in 2014 and 2018. He now plays in the MLL for the Chesapeake Bayhawks. Matt was a former teammate of mine at Syracuse. It was really great to catch up with him. We got a chance to talk about how he thought about choosing the right school, controlling what you can, overcoming an off year, and much more. Here's my interview with Matt Abbott. Matt, welcome to the show.
Joe, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man. Thanks for coming on again. Anybody who's listening, we had a little mistake yesterday. Matt and I did a full interview, and then the software I used to record the conversation crashed. So he was gracious enough to come back on again. Thanks for taking the time. But let's get started as we did yesterday and as I do every interview. How'd you get started playing lacrosse?
Yeah, so for me, I was basically born into the sport. I've got an older brother, Mike, who's 3 years older than me. He's played pretty much since birth, too. Our father, Tom, played growing up. He played lacrosse in Syracuse as well. And my grandfather, Larry, played at Syracuse also. So lacrosse definitely runs pretty deep in our family. So I was just sort of born into the sport and been playing it ever since I can remember.
Right. So while you were growing up, was it always a sport that you knew you were going to play at the next level, or was it just something that you enjoyed doing and it just happened to end up that way?
It was always something I always enjoyed doing. I didn't know if I would turn into sort of a career and a focal point of my life, but I always enjoyed playing the sport. But I played a lot of other sports growing up too. I actually played more hockey than lacrosse until high school. From Syracuse, New York originally, and hockey's pretty big in upstate New York. So played a lot of that. But also played soccer, golf, baseball. You name it, I pretty much tried it. So, lacrosse was definitely a big part of my life, but it didn't turn into the only focal point until, later on in my high school years.
Right. And so I'm curious, how do you feel like those extra sports sort of contributed to your lacrosse career or to your game in general, like specifically hockey? I've talked to a lot of lacrosse players who also play hockey. Yep. It seems like a sport that goes together really well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was going to be my next comment, was that I'd say, hockey probably has the biggest, I would say, benefit or crossover of all the sports I played. Another one that I've heard that I didn't play a lot growing up is basketball, in terms of just a defensive and footwork standpoint. But given the fast-paced nature of hockey and the physicality and the speed of it, I think that, as well as the hand-eye coordination, really translates well over to lacrosse. Mm-hmm. I played a lot of the guys that I played with, some of the best players that are in the lacrosse ranks were also hockey players at some point in their careers. So right. There's a lot of complementary skill sets there.
Right, that's for sure. So as you were growing up, who were the types of players that you looked up to?
Yeah, so being from Syracuse originally, and going to Syracuse games since I could even walk, was a lifelong Syracuse lacrosse fan. So, I was real young. I vaguely remember the Gates. They were still there, borders there, to all the fouls and stuff. So I've been, any great Syracuse lacrosse player in the past, I was a huge fan of them. But I also look up to, my older brother Mike and to my dad. They were good role models for me, both on and off the field. So I was fortunate to have a lot of good folks to try and follow in their footsteps.
Right. So if you can you talk about sort of the people that you looked up to, those greats at Syracuse and, even your brother and your dad. How did that translate into your game, right? Like, I remember when I was younger, obviously looked up to my dad, but I didn't have any video of him. I watched Casey Powell a lot, and I would basically just go in the backyard and try to emulate his moves. What did you do, if anything, while you were looking at some of these players that you idolized?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you watch all these great players, and the Powells, the Gates, those guys, obviously, just world-class talent, some of the greatest in our game's history. So as I was growing up, me and my brother Mike, we'd go over to, Coin Field and shoot balls and try and emulate some of those guys. Obviously, my skill set is not as offensive as some of those great players, but I certainly tried to copy sort of what they did and their success on the field. And obviously, growing up with Mike, tried to copy his game too. He was more of an offensive-minded midfielder as opposed to sort of my two-way style.
Right.
And then, even though we don't have, film of our dad when he played back in college, he would play a little bit in some men's leagues and stuff. I remember when I was real, real young, still watching him play in the sport. At not a super high level, he was a, we're all lefties, so we've sort of all modeled our game after one another. So that's definitely one thing I've taken from those two guys, both my dad and my brother growing up.
So at what point while you were growing up, when it came to high school, did you start thinking about, hey, lacrosse, this is going to be the thing that I want to play at the next level?
Yeah, it was definitely probably, I played soccer, hockey, and lacrosse up until my freshman year of high school. And then I just played 1 year of high school hockey. And then after that, my sophomore year, I played soccer as well. But then my junior and senior year was just focusing on lacrosse. So I'd say, that was partially because it was my favorite to play and I wanted to focus on it. But also I think it was my, best path to sort of continue in a sport going forward. Lacrosse sort of was the one that I was best at and one that I enjoyed the most. And I think those things sort of went hand in hand because I put the most work into it. So, but I'd say probably not until, at least my freshman, sophomore year of high school before I really started focusing just on lacrosse.
Right. So once you started focusing on lacrosse, what were some of the things that you did, either with your brother or with your dad, to get better, to improve your game?
It was always just continually working on my craft, whether it was, playing wall ball or, going over to a high school field and shooting my brother, and I grew up with a pretty close-knit group of buddies that all played lacrosse growing up. There's about five or six of us that pretty much from youth lacrosse all the way through high school together. We'd always get together after school or on the weekends and, just something as simple as playing catch or finding a goal and shooting on net. So it was just always keeping the stick in my hands, mm-hmm. like I said, it was something that we found, fun to do, it's what mm-hmm. we did for fun. And that sort of, added to us to continue to try and work at it and get better each and every day.
And when you guys, went up and shot around, was any of that, regimented at all? Or was it just going up there, sort of like doing trick shots and shooting around for as long as you guys wanted to?
I mean, a little bit of both. I mean, we definitely had fun, don't get me wrong, but we also tried to work on stuff that was, practical. And I'm not saying that trick shots and stuff aren't practical because mm-hmm. I think, have in place for all that in games, and if you practice it, then you can put it to work when the time calls. So, mm-hmm. but we definitely tried to work on some of our weaknesses. Obviously, work on our offhands, trying to shoot the ball more fundamentally. That didn't really stick. I still had some pretty bad habits. I should have maybe focused more on the fundamentals when we were out there sort of fooling around. But, you know, we tried to be serious with it, but at the same time, you know, always had fun with it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, while you were in high school, you know, you mentioned when we spoke yesterday, you know, you went to a small high school that, you know, was a good lacrosse school, but not much depth. What did you do as a high school player to sort of stand out, right, to get noticed so that you can play at the next level?
Yeah, yeah. So the school I went to is called Nottingham High School. It's right in the city of Syracuse. We were, you know, as I mentioned yesterday, you know, we weren't very deep in terms of the number of guys that played. In fact, I ended up making the varsity team my eighth grade year, which I think in part speaks to the lack of depth that we had on the team. So we always had, you know, 20 to 25 guys on the roster and, you know, guys that, you know, played the sport growing up. There was a, you know, handful or so of those guys, but there was also guys that, you know, just played the sport as a way to stay in shape for other sports too. So because of that, we had to, a lot of us had to sort of wear multiple hats and play a lot of different positions. And I think that sort of helped shape the player I became, you know, being sort of a two-way, do-it-all midi, you know, because I had to play offense in high school. I had to play defense, took face-offs a bunch, or I was on the wing when my brother was taking face-offs, played man up, man down. So that it really allowed me to develop a lot of different skill sets within the game and obviously shaped the player that I've become today.
Right. And so what eventually, what led you to decide on Syracuse?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, growing up, I think my parents' house, you know, I mentioned yesterday, is like literally less than 2 miles from the Carrier Dome. You know, right. I grew up in a house just off of sort of the off-campus housing that students lived in. So, you know, I was always a big, big Syracuse fan. And I knew growing up that, you know, my grandfather went there. He was a lacrosse player. My father, the same thing. And that was, you know, a factor in me wanting to go there. But I think it was more just, you know, seeing the success that program had had over my youth and high school years and just, you know, wanting to aspire to one day be a part of it. Wasn't really sure if I was good enough to be, you know, early on in my high school years. But, you know, fortunate enough to have gotten the opportunity and, you know, wouldn't change a thing about my experience.
Mm-hmm. And when you first got to Syracuse that first semester, did you feel like it was a fit right away?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was, there were a lot of guys on the team that I was familiar with. You know, a lot of upstate New York guys that were on the roster that I had known from either playing with or against, growing up in the area, as well as some other guys that I was just familiar with, just from, you know, being fans of them in the prior 2-3 years as they were underclassmen there. So I think it was a fit socially for me, you know, having some buddies that went there that I knew from high school, a fit academically for the program that I was in. I was in the business school there. And then, you know, a fit athletically with the team and with the guys on the team.
Right. If you can you talk a little bit more about how you sort of, or maybe you didn't, but how you were able to sort of separate, you know, the fact that Syracuse was something that, you know, you really wanted to go to. You grew up around Syracuse University, you know, you looked up to some of the players on the team. So obviously that draw was tough, but it turned out to also be, you know, a great fit for you. Can you talk a little bit about how you sort of made that decision and maybe distance yourself from like the allure of Syracuse University?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's obviously, you know, choosing college to go to and being part of a great athletic program like that, but it's got to be a fit across the board, not just for athletics. And I did have a sort of a different perspective leading up to going to Syracuse because I was such a huge fan pretty much my whole life. So, you know, fortunately when it came time to make the decision and go to Syracuse, you know, I had a great business school there, the Women's School of Management, where I got both my undergraduate and graduate degrees from. When I originally went to school, I wanted to, you know, go into their entrepreneurship program. They had a great entrepreneurship program at the Whitman School of Management. They also had other concentrations in finance, accounting, supply chain, and marketing. I ended up being a dual major, finance and accounting, which translates well over to what I do today. But, it was just a great fit athletically, of course, but also academically. And I think that really helped, the transition, because it's a big jump going from high school to college, not just right. on the field, but certainly off the field, too. So the fact that that was able to mesh up for my interests and, of course, I was, still in the town I grew up with, so I didn't have to deal with getting used to a new physical space so much. But, it made the transition a lot easier. Right. From high school to college.
Right. And before you got to school, were you looking at, hey, this school has the type of programs that I want, that I'm interested in?
Yeah, that was a big part of it. Obviously, the lacrosse piece was a big piece, but also making sure I was going to a school that, like I mentioned, I wanted to, my thought was to get into the entrepreneurship program, mm-hmm. but just more broader, a school that had a good business school. And, the Whitman School up at Syracuse was a pretty high business school. So I was fortunate enough that those two things, athletics and academics matched up for my interests.
Right. So, you said you were a dual major. How did you end up balancing both school and lacrosse? Obviously a student athlete's day is basically like 16 hours long. Yep. How did you balance the two?
Yeah, it's, time management's obviously the biggest, part of it. I think growing up playing a lot of sports helped me as well. Parents always, put a stress on academics and me doing well academically, youth and high school years. Time management is the biggest part of it. So, in high school, I was used to, getting up, going to school all day, going to some sort of practice in the afternoon or early evening, depending on what season, what sport we were in. And then homework after that, and then eat dinner and go to bed. So that helped transition over to college, because it's the same sort of schedule, just a little bit more amplified. You got full day classes most of the morning and into the early afternoon, and you've got your 2-hour practice late afternoon, early evening. You got to get in your schoolwork. Freshman year, we had what we called study table over at the academic facility for student athletes, where we had to log a certain number of hours each week, mm-hmm. which I think really helps get into that sort of study mode. And then, before you know it, it's time to eat something for dinner and go to bed and, repeat it the next day. So time management is the biggest part of it. I think having that structure, class, practice, lift, dinner, eat throughout the year is just something I was used to, but it definitely was a little bit of an adjustment, because it was such a big time commitment across the board, when you first get to college and then throughout those 4 years.
Right. And how did you handle, from the lacrosse side, how did you handle that transition from, like we said, you went from a small school where you're playing, pretty much all over the place, anything that they need you to do, to now you're playing for Syracuse University as a freshman, in the college game, which is, probably the highest level at that point, right? How did you handle that transition? How did you approach it?
Yeah, it was definitely a tough transition to make. I mean, obviously you're going from, being the guy or one of the guys in high school, and to a team that's full of guys like that. Everybody was all Americans and, all league selections, from where they were from. So, definitely a little bit of an adjustment period. obviously the speed of the game, much faster, the strength and the talent level of all the guys that you're playing with and against is just ratcheted up that much more. So, it definitely took some time to get adjusted. Coming into fall ball my freshman year, I was a borderline, third line midfielder, not looking to see much time my freshman year. And we talked a little bit yesterday, and I'll mention it again, Coach Desko actually came to me in the fall and asked if I would consider taking a redshirt year that freshman year because of how many guys we had at the midfield position that were upperclassmen. Right. He and the coaching staff had talked and maybe thought that I might have needed to take 5 years anyway to finish my academics. Would I consider redshirting, and then saving my four eligible years for right after I had some time to develop. So it was definitely a little bit of a transition period to get acclimated. Thankfully, I had some good role models on the team and guys I looked up to that helped me through that. But you know, it takes you know, you got to put in the extra work outside of just the normal practice time to ratchet it up to that speed, definitely.
Right. And so, how did you approach that decision? Right. I mean, you know, obviously mm-hmm. we talked about this yesterday, but you know, it worked out really well your freshman year because we had some injuries. You know, and thank God you didn't redshirt because we definitely needed you. But how did you make that decision as a freshman? You know, when the head coach is coming to you and saying, listen, you know, we have a lot of seniors, we have a lot of people in the midfield, you know, even sort of recommending maybe it might be worth it for you to take a redshirt year. How did you decide not to? What was your thinking around that?
Yeah. So when Coach came, I wasn't surprised at first, you know, because of the depth we had with the upperclassmen at the midfield position. But, you know, he told me to take some time and to think about it. So I went home and, you know, talked to my parents about it, and we sort of weighed the pros and cons. And, you know, certainly looking back, you know, everything all worked out in a sense that, you know, because I didn't take the redshirt year, I didn't end up wasting a year because we did have, unfortunately, some injuries. But I think, you know, I was maybe a little stubborn, a little naive at the time, thinking, you know, I know I'm, you know, on the third midfield line now, but, you know, I think that between fall ball and when spring practice starts, you know, I can improve that much more and work my way up to the top two lines and a little bit more in the mix. So, you know, like I said, thankfully it all worked out. But I think, you know, after weighing the pros and cons, it wasn't an easy decision, but I think my sort of own stubbornness or own competitive nature won my decision over, and I decided not to take the redshirt year.
Right. So can you talk a little bit about how did you approach, you know, from that viewpoint, right? Like I'm on the third string midi. I think that I can work and I can get to a spot where I'm going to play. What's your thought process? Like how did you think you were going to be able to make that jump?
Well, you know, I thought that, you know, my skill set in terms of being able to do a little bit of everything, you know, offensive midi, defensive midi, some little bit of help on the wings. You know, I thought that if I just continued to work and to try and improve not only my skill set, but also, you know, my physical attributes. You know, I was undersized my freshman year. I think I mentioned in the call yesterday, I graduated high school. I was 6 foot tall and maybe 160 pounds soaking wet. So worked hard in the weight room to try and put on some weight. And I actually grew a couple inches over my freshman and into my sophomore year of college. So was able to sort of, you know, transform my body a little bit to be able to handle that Division I game a little bit better. You know, but also try to put in the work not only during practice time during the fall, but also on my own to try and, you know, nudge myself up further on the depth chart, and then get the opportunity to help the team on the field if that's what I was called to do. And at the same time, if it didn't work out that way and I wasn't able to play on the field, at least that was helping me get better in some way, whether it was, you know, as a team or have you to try and help the team get better. So, mm-hmm. You know, I tried to put in the work, and like I said, it all worked out in the end, but, you know, it definitely was a process to get there. It didn't just happen because right. I wanted it to. I had to put in the work.
So can you just, you said this yesterday, and I just want to make sure that everybody sort of understands the jump that you had from freshman year to sophomore year. You went in freshman year at 6 foot, sophomore year, you mm-hmm. grew a couple inches to what?
So I'm just shy. I'm listed just shy of 6'3" now. So I put on, you know, almost two to 2.5 inches over the first, you know, year and a half in college. And, you know, since pretty much 4 years from now, I weigh between 185 and 195. So, wow. You know, a good 20, 25 pounds and a couple inches. So that definitely helped with the transition to the Division I game.
that is an unbelievable growth spurt to get from your freshman to sophomore year. I wish I'm pretty sure every player in Division I wishes that they would get that.
It didn't hurt, that's for sure. No question.
Right. So how did like we mentioned, unfortunately, some players got injured. So it worked out that you were a big contributor that freshman year. But how did you approach sort of improving your game while you're at school from year to year, right? Freshman to sophomore, sophomore to junior, junior to junior, senior. How did you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously it was a goal of mine. And it's always a goal to try and if you're not trying to get better and improve yourself, other guys are going to pass you by. So, freshman year was really just trying to find the right fit. Obviously, as we mentioned, some guys had some injuries, which was unfortunate, but it allowed some other guys to step up, and myself included. And then we graduated a ton of guys off that freshman team that I was on. So it was 2006, obviously your year at Syracuse. We made the Final Four, but graduated a ton of talent off that team. And then obviously my sophomore year was a little bit of a letdown in terms of team performance. We finished 5-8 and missed the playoffs for the first time in the Syracuse program in, I think it was, 30 years. I felt that, and I think a lot of the guys in that team felt that we weren't that far off. That 2007 season, lost a lot of close games. We just didn't have that little extra bit that would get us over the edge. So I think a lot of us, rededicated ourselves, even more so than we had done in the prior year. Worked extra hard in the off season to try and get bigger, faster, stronger, and to get this thing back on the right path. And obviously the last 2 years, we ended up winning the championship both years. So it all worked out, but, just a lot of hard work and a lot of good team chemistry to pull everything together. And my role shifted a little bit as time went on. Second line middie my freshman year, and a two way middie more so my sophomore year, and then that sort of continued throughout my junior and senior year. So, hard work, team chemistry, bringing everything together, and everybody just buying into that common cause is what allowed us to see that success in our later years.
Right. Right. So this is always a hard question. I hear so often people say, hard work is the key, and it obviously, it definitely is, but I wonder if you can talk a little bit more about sort of what that looks like for you on an individual level, right? Like at the end of your freshman year, let's say you're saying like, all right, I need to work harder. I need to put in extra work. What's in your mind? How does that come out for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, and I mentioned this a little bit in the call yesterday, but one of the things that I always try and focus on is to control the things that I can control. I can't control maybe, how a certain play comes out in the game, or, what a teammate's doing, or what an opponent's doing. But all I can do is control the things that are in my direct vicinity. So it's, how much time I do put into, playing wall ball, getting my stick skills better so that I don't have to think about it when I'm out on the field. It's that muscle memory. It's second nature. How much time I spend in the weight room, trying to get bigger and stronger. As I mentioned, I put on 20 to 25 pounds for my freshman and my sophomore year. Part of that was a growth spurt, but the other part of that was putting in a lot of work in the weight room and trying to get stronger so I could be more effective on the field. All that sort of stuff, that hard work, putting in the effort, that applies off the field too. It applies to, what I was doing academically at Syracuse, and obviously to every aspect of my life. It's not, just because you work hard doesn't guarantee anything, really. You got to have a little bit of luck involved, I think. But also, if you don't put in the hard work, the odds are stacked against you, and things aren't likely going to work out. So, it was focused work, cross skills, overall physical fitness in terms of strength as well as cardio, and that's something that I still try and implement in my game today. Especially as I get older, we're only practicing 1 to 2 days a week in the MLL. It's it's tougher to stay in shape. So that's stuff you got to take care of if you want to play the game at a high level.
Right, right. Yeah, you know what? So you mentioned off the field stuff as well. You know, for me, as I've gotten older, the one thing that I've realized is that if you're going to get better, or if you're going to take one thing seriously, you have to take everything in your life just as seriously, right? So if you're a lacrosse player, you want to get better at lacrosse, you can focus just on lacrosse. And you will get better at it. But if you really want to take your game to the next level, you also have to, you know, focus just as hard on school, right? You need to focus just as hard on your job or whatever it is, because you can't just turn it on and off from one thing to the other. Focus in one area translates into focus in another.
100%.
Right.
Absolutely
right.
Agree.
So let's talk about, your training now. So, obviously, you know, you play in the MLL, you play for Chesapeake, you live in New York. Obviously in the MLL, you're lucky to get two practices in for a week. How do you work on your game today? What does that look like now that you're playing in the MLL?
Yeah, so it's definitely a lot more on, you know, the players as individuals, because it's, you know, unlike college, where a lot of times guys aren't living all in the same spot. You know, I'm living up in Syracuse and we play our games down in Annapolis. So a typical game week, you know, games are Saturdays. So what we'll typically do is everybody will travel in Friday late afternoon, early evening. We'll get a practice Friday night. Usually a little bit of a walkthrough, sometimes Saturday morning. And then you play a game Saturday night and then fly home on Sunday. So for me, I try and get at least two lifting sessions in each game week, and then two sort of on-field/cardio days for me. So a typical game week for me will be, we play Saturday night. When I travel home Sunday, I like to get back out on the field and at least get a little bit of running in and get some stick work and shooting in, just to sort of work out some of the soreness from the game before. Sometimes it's more sprint work and agility work, but definitely some keeping the stick in my hand, as well as, you know, working on my cardio the day after the game. Monday is typically a lifting day for me. So the way I structure my lifts, if I'm able to get two in per week or three in per week, depending on the game schedule, I typically go every other day. A lot of times this year it's been Monday, Wednesday, Monday, Thursday, if we've got back-to-back Saturday games. So what I do lifting wise though is, it's a little bit unorthodox. When I was at Syracuse, we had a great strength coach, Hal Luther, who put in a great strength program for us. It was a sort of a 4-day lift week. We'd alternate upper and lower bodies, upper and lower body lifts. Because of my time schedule now, and I'm only able to get 2 to 3 in a week, I typically do both upper and lower body in the same day. So it turns into a pretty long gym session, typically, you know, 2 hours to 2 hours and 15 minutes. But thankfully, my wife comes to the gym with me and she works out too. So she helps positively reinforce my lifting schedule. So
right.
So I'll lift Monday, hit a little bit of everything, you know, chest, back, arms, legs, core, and a little bit of cardio, some more distance cardio as opposed to sprint run workouts that I do on the Sunday. Tuesday is typically either an off day or back in the field, for some sprint agility work, as well as more stick work. Wednesday is either an off day or the on-field day, depending on my work schedule. And then Thursday is typically a lift day, and then I'm back on the road Friday for practice. So, so two on-field days, typically two off-field days in the weight room. And then typically one rest day, in between those somewhere. So, it's the full schedule, but that's if I'm not practicing 5 days a week, like college, those are the things I've got to do that are going to allow me to still play this game at a high level going forward.
Right. Right. And so you mentioned that, you have a game on Saturday, you're right on the field on Sunday. What's the thinking behind that? Why do you try to make that happen?
Yep. So when I was my early years in the league, so this is my 10th season, all with the Bayhawks in the MLL. In my early years, I would actually take that Sunday and make it a lift day. just to try. And the thought was just to work some of the soreness out from the game before. You know, maybe I wasn't able to, do all the things, or at least all the weight that I wanted to. But it was a way just to sort of flush my system out and get a sweat in and get back on track for the rest of the week. As I'm older, in the last several years, I've taken that Sunday and made it an on-field day as opposed to a lifting day, just because it takes my body longer to recover. So, but I do like to get back out there and at least do something. So I'm sort of, setting myself up to get back to work for the week,
right?
In terms of on-field, off-field stuff. So that's just what's worked for me. I know guys that, need at least one full day off to recover and then start their workout program. But, that's what's worked. So I just try and basically work the soreness out is the biggest thought behind it.
Right. So let's talk about, a typical training session for you, and let's separate it by field and weight room. When you do go up to the field, what's that look like for you?
Yep. So one thing I always try and do is implement some wall ball. I typically go up to the local high school, where we live, or, one of the school buildings that's in our neighborhood, and, work on, basic wall ball, 50 right, 50 left. My brother, who's a coach at UPenn now, was a coach at Colgate, for the past 7 years, has got a pretty good wall ball program that he had all our players do at Colgate. It's 50 right, 50 left. And then you work on some non-traditional stuff too, some cross-handed passing with both hands, one-handed stuff behind the backs, stuff that might not necessarily use in a game, but, if you do need to use it in the game, you've worked on it, and also it just improves your overall stick skills. So
right.
Wall ball first and foremost. Then I typically get out on a lacrosse field and do at least a little bit of shooting, both on the run and set shots. Depending on the day, it will depend on how many reps I do, but, work on dodging and shooting as I'm moving a little bit. And then I'll get into just some strictly cardio work. One of the workouts I do is, and you might remember this, Joe, where we did our 440 tests in Syracuse.
Yep.
So what that is, end line to end line on a lacrosse field is 110 yards. So the 440 test would be end line to end line. So down and back, down and back. So 440 yards total. And we do that for time. I think times at Syracuse were, the first 440, you had to do it in 65 seconds. Then you get, a 3 or 4 minute break. The second 440, you'd have to do it in 70 seconds. Another 3 or 4 minute break, and then the last one in about 75 seconds. So I've adapted the workout a little bit. I don't do all 3 440s in a row. I'll typically do 110 shuttles. In times for me, from end line to end line, I'm looking to do, that in front in, 15 seconds. I'll take a 30 second break and then run another 110 sprint. So I'll do 4 110s. So the total distance is still that 440. Mm-hmm. Give myself about a 3 minute break. For the second set, I'll do down and back, so a 220 yard sprint, and looking to do that in about 35 seconds. So I'll do two of those with a minute break in between. And then the last set, I'll try and do the full 440. And, the times that I'm looking at now are right around 80 seconds. So I'm not quite down to that 75 seconds where we were back in college, but I'm trying to get back there. That's one of the workouts I'll do. But I'll change it up. I'll probably do that one only, once every 3 or 4 weeks. And then I'll mix in just some general, some shorter sprints, restraining line back for several reps. Just looking to work on, my explosiveness, especially getting off the line, playing on the wings a lot for the Bayhawks. And the other thing that I'll do is I'll work on just some general agility work. So change of direction, going from a shuffle to a sprint or a back pedal to a shuffle, working on different angles just to try and simulate game-like movements to keep my quickness up, because that's one thing that I feel is probably the first to go, especially as I'm getting older. So working on that agility work, I think is of the utmost importance, especially if it's a week where I'm playing a little bit more defensive midfield and you're more reactionary as opposed to being on the offensive end where you're sort of driving the pace of things. So So it's, that's a typical off-field day for me. And then, you know, I'll mix up some variation of that later in the week for the second day of on-field work.
Gotcha. And are you doing all your stick work against the wall, or are you shooting in the cage, or, you know, dodging or anything like that?
Doing both. So I'll always try and work in some wall ball. I think it's important to work on those most basic fundamental skills. But I also try and get out on the field with each session and get some shots on the run, get some set shots in, work on my dodging and my footwork, because that's equally as important. You know, it's, you know, when you're out there on the field, you're not stationary, just, you know, playing catch. It's, you know, so getting that on field, simulating dodges. I try and do that, but I try and do both each day that I work for that on field sessions that I do.
And so, you know, so you mentioned nowadays when you go to the weight room, you're doing full body stuff, but what does that typically look like for you? Is it lightweight, high reps, low reps? You know, what do you typically try to do?
Yep. So I try and, so the workouts I do today are pretty much adapted from what our strength coach at Syracuse gave us, just with the one caveat being that it's compressed into one day. Typically it's, you know, I'm looking for, you know, 10 to 12 reps, and not super high reps, but also not super heavy weight. I rotate four workouts that I do, just so I'm not doing the same thing every day. But each of them has a component of different muscle groups. So you know, I typically always start with a chest, whether that's a bench or dumbbells or some sort of machine press. So I'll go alternate chest and legs, whether that's a squat or a leg press or, you know, leg extension, leg curl machines. Then I'll work in buys and tries, you know, different forms of curls and extensions, whether with dumbbells or cable machines or crooked bars or straight bars. And then typically finish up with shoulders and core. So I'd always do abs to finish out my workout. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I typically rotate. It's four different workouts that I do. So I'm not doing the same exact workouts every time. I'll vary the weight a little bit. You know, there's some days where I will, you know, do slightly heavier weight and less reps, you know, looking at that 6 to 8 rep range versus the 10 to 12, which is my normal. So, and then I'll finish up the workout day with typically a you know, a mile or, you know, 2 mile, you know, run at a pretty brisk pace just to sort of try and build the cardio a little bit more. But, you know, it tends to be a long day, but like I said, it's, you know, got to put in the work, and also having my wife there helps, help the time pass, I guess.
Right. And so what's the thinking behind, you know, what makes you switch from say 6 to 8 to 10 to 12?
Part of it's on how I'm feeling, you know. The biggest part of it probably is time during the week. Mm-hmm. You know, if we're going a Saturday game to Saturday game, it doesn't much matter because I'll have enough time to recover. But, you know, there's weeks where, you know, next week's a great example. We've got a Saturday game this week and we play on a Thursday next week. So, you know, I might, you know, stick to the 10 reps and not try and get a little heavier weight. Cause at least for me, I find it takes a little bit longer to recover once I go a little bit lower rep, higher weight. Right. So pretty much the game schedule will help dictate that, but I try and mix in as much as I can, at least one of those lower rep days every couple of weeks to try and help build the strength a little bit more.
Right. Gotcha. All right. So let's talk about, you know, your pregame prep. You know, when you're preparing for an upcoming opponent, you know, let's say, game is Saturday. What's your week looks like? What does your week look like? How are you thinking about the upcoming game?
Yeah, so you know, game day Saturday, you know, we've gone over my physical stuff in terms of preparation for the next week. You know, with the BayHawks, and I'm not sure if it's this way with every MLL team, but we you know, we've got a great coaching staff and a great front office staff that you know, get us the scouting report and the film that we need, you know, with a pretty quick turnaround. So if we've got a game Saturday, our film for the prior game is usually up, you know, by that Monday or Tuesday of the following week. We use we've used different apps in the past, crossover for our film. So all the film is sent directly right to our login there. We can log in on our cell phones and see the cut up clips, pretty early in the week. And then they'll send a scouting report out for the following week. Usually that's out Monday or Tuesday. So we've got all the information we need on the upcoming opponent, as well as film clips from their games as well. So, making sure that we're getting into that. The lacrosse community, especially in the MLL, with only nine teams, there is a familiarity with the guys you're playing. So, I don't want to say everybody knows everybody, but it's pretty close to that. So you sort of know guys' tendencies. But in terms of, team schematics, what a team likes to do in transition or offensively, defensively, it really helps to have, film on those guys so we can sort of do our mental reps during the week. So that way when we get together on Friday nights for practice, we're hitting the ground running and everybody's on the same page as we head into the game on the weekend.
Right, right. And do you spend any of that time looking at film yourself, or maybe reviewing a previous game of the team that you're about to play, anything like that?
Yeah, I absolutely. I try and after a game's played, I try and there are always at least a handful of plays in any game that I played that stick out in my mind, whether it's a mistake that I made or even a positive play that I made. I like to go back and try and review and see if my initial thought of it, having gone through it live in the game and what bears out on the film sort of matches up, and try and learn from those mistakes that I made. So yeah, I do try and, go back and review clips that certainly I was a part of as well as teammates too, to a certain extent, to sort of learn from it. And then obviously the same goes forward for the teams that we're playing. So it's, like I said, there is a familiarity with guys. You tend to know what guys like to do, but it's always good to see, recent clips from a game, especially for upcoming opponents, to make sure that you understand where what teams like to do and we're all on the same page.
Right.
Because we do have such limited practice time together.
So let's say that, for you identify something, a mistake you made in a game or something that you want to work on. Before the next game, what are you doing in that upcoming week? How are you approaching, maybe getting rid of that weakness, or how are you approaching improving that mistake?
Yeah, it's, I think it all goes hand in hand. It's seen it on film, and if it's a physical mistake, whether a stick work error or something of that nature, that's maybe a little bit easier to correct because you get out in the field and you rep it out. Mm-hmm. If it's if I'm dodging in an invert situation and I, a guy slides to me and doubles to me, I don't move the ball quick enough. It's getting out on the field and working on my footwork so I can step away from the pressure and make that pass the next time out. If it's a mental mistake, that sometimes it's a little bit harder to correct, but seeing it on film hopefully will help me recognize that the next time that it happens in a game situation, and able to correct that going forward. So it's hard to give a set answer for that, but it's definitely, taking advantage of the tools that are available in terms of film and, the scouting reports that we get and trying to work on those different situations as best I can on my own, or, trying to rep those out of practice when we get together on Fridays or Saturdays.
Right. Gotcha. And so what's a typical game day look like for you? Pregame meal, routines, any superstitions at all?
Yep. So, pregame meal for me, I always like to eat 4 hours before the game. So typically games are, 7 o'clock in the evening. So I'll try and eat at 3 or so. That's the schedule that we had when I was at Syracuse. We'd always have team meal 4 hours before, and I just sort of kept that going forward. In my early years in the MLL, I'd always try and eat the same exact meal, prepping for a game. It's not always feasible sometimes because you're in different cities, you're traveling, it's a home game or an away game. So I've relaxed a little bit on my, what types of food I like to eat. Mm-hmm. But I still try and keep it relatively light. For me personally, like I mentioned, the 4 hours before is what works for me. I always like to go into a game, you know, and at game time, I like to be just a little bit hungry. You know, not so hungry where I don't have enough energy to last throughout the game, but I also don't want to be weighed down by, you know, maybe a big meal that I've eaten earlier in the day. So that's sort of the food prep for me. And then one of the things that I always do before every game is I put fresh tape on my stick. I've been taping my shaft the same way since high school. You know, I can't remember the last time I taped my stick differently. I'm very particular about it. I think part of that is maybe the hockey player in me growing up. You know, you always put fresh tape on your stick before the game. So I've carried that over each and every game, even to this day. So those are really the two things, you know, eating 4 hours before and putting fresh tape. I don't have too many other superstitions other than that. But those are two I definitely stick to.
Right. Well, listen, Matt, you know, again, I appreciate you taking the time to come on for the second time. You know, this was really great to catch up, but before I let you go, one question that I've asked everybody who's come on the show, what are three things that everyone should be doing every day to get better at whatever it is they do? It doesn't have to just be lacrosse.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So I think that the first thing that I would say is to control the things that you can control, you know, and that sort of goes hand in hand with what my second one is. And the things you control, it's, you know, it's not just physical things or, you know, the work that you put in. It's also, you know, your attitude about things too. You know, it's,
right.
You know, if things don't always go your way, it's not, you know, it's how, oftentimes how you respond to it is what's going to dictate the direction that you go. So, you know, control the things you control. The second thing, you know, it sort of goes hand in hand with that is work hard and always try your best. And I think that sort of goes without saying, and it's, you know, probably a common answer to this question, but I truly, truly believe that if you put in the work, and it's focused the right way, you know, oftentimes things will work out for you. You know, if you work hard enough. And lastly, and probably most importantly, is just to have fun. You know, I still play lacrosse because it's fun for me. You know, and that applies to all areas of my life. You know, I'm in the profession I'm in because I enjoy it. I work as an investment advisor in upstate New York. You know, I play lacrosse because it's fun. I work out because it's fun. You know, I do all those sort of things because I still enjoy it. So
right.
You know, whatever your passion is, just, you know, control the things you control, work hard and always have fun. And that's the best three pieces of advice I think I can give.
Right. Awesome. Matt, thanks again, man. This was so great. Thanks for coming on. And, hopefully we can catch up and talk again soon.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Game Changer Lacrosse Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Uvoli. You can follow me on Twitter at Joe Uvoli. You can find more episodes of the Game Changer Lacrosse Podcast on The Season at theseason.gc.com. If you like the podcast, please take a second to give it a positive review on iTunes. This helps more people find the podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at GC Sports. And if you're a coach, a parent, or you run a travel or club team, check out Game Changer Team Manager in the App Store. It's an essential all-in-one scheduling and communication app for lacrosse coaches and parents. Game Changer Team Manager is free, it's easy to use, and it doesn't serve ads. Learn more at gc.com/team manager. Until next time, keep working and keep getting better.